Well, recently got an email that read, I have the cover story in this week's Boston Phoenix. It's a kind of open letter to my old colleagues, and it's the hardest thing I've ever written. Well, since we are, in a way, former colleagues of the author, it caught our eye. Wen Stevenson was senior producer of the NPR program On Point, which is produced down the hall from us. He was also an editor at the Boston Globe and the Atlantic. Then he became a climate activist who now says journalists have failed miserably in covering climate change. Now, his article made us think of Hallin's spheres. This is the theory of media coverage created by political scientist Daniel Hallin. Three spheres, the sphere of deviance, you don't have to cover this wacky stuff, the sphere of legitimate controversy in which journalists are obliged to cover both sides, not be advocates, and the sphere of consensus in which journalists don't have to present an opposing view. So without naming it, Wen says most journalists now place climate change in that sphere. So he asks, why aren't they advocating? Why aren't they covering climate change as a crisis? As he writes, it's the biggest story of this or any generation, so why the hell aren't you putting it on the front page and leading newscasts with it every day? Wen Stevenson joins us in the studio, and you have gotten a lot of reaction to this.
Wow, yeah, the reaction has been huge. But I want to say, this was not a fun piece to write. There were real relationships on the line.
Sure.
I knew I might even lose some friends over this piece because
have you?
I named some names. I don't know.
Yeah, well.
I don't know yet. But well, I want to say, you know, there are no victory laps here of any kind, but there are also no apologies. I'm saying that we're actually not talking about the real story, the real issue, the actual scale and urgency and severity of the climate crisis.
The crisis. And you say, you know, compare it to the AIDS crisis.
That's right. Silence or near silence on the issue of climate and just how urgent the crisis is really tantamount to, during the AIDS crisis, silence equals death.
That was a rallying cry of
AIDS
activists.
And I said, climate silence equals death.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, pick it up there because we could see so many people dying of one related thing, AIDS, when finally the focus was on what was killing particularly gay men in particular in the beginning. We could see those deaths. People might be saying, you can't really see the deaths now. We know they happen. We just had people die from Hurricane Sandy, and just about every scientist attributes the size of Sandy to warming water. So, mm-hmm. You know, people are saying, yeah, we know that Hurricane Sandy was that size because of global warming, and we know there were deaths, but people aren't seeing it.
As a journalist, Mark Hertzgaard, who I know has been a guest on this show, reported not too long ago in the Daily Beast, big study commissioned by 20 countries most affected currently by climate change, mostly in the global south, pointed out that as many as 400,000 people are now dying every year around the world as a result of climate change.
Well, I mean, you know, if you look outside our own world, David Remnick writes in just this week's New Yorker, the European heat wave of 2003 left 50,000 people dead, the Russian heat waves and forest fires of 2010, droughts last year in Texas mm-hmm. and Oklahoma. These have all left deaths in their path. What aren't you seeing from journalists, and what would you mm-hmm. like to see?
What I'd like to see is not tying ourselves in knots over just exactly to what degree Superstorm Sandy can be attributed to climate change. There's a real scientific debate over that, of course. What I would like to see is a serious national conversation about what we're supposed to do about the climate crisis that's bearing down on us right now. Nothing I wrote is controversial. You know, I pointed out that scientific consensus says that we need to reduce global greenhouse emissions by at least 25% by the year 2020. That's 8 years from now. And by at least 80% by 2050. In order to have a reasonable chance, I believe something like a 50-50 chance, of keeping global average temperature rise to 2 degrees Celsius. That's been the consensus, that anything above that would not be conducive to civilization as we know it. And yet there's when was the last time you actually heard or saw a serious conversation in our mainstream media about what it would actually take to hit those targets?
Well, I mean, of course, the biggest complaint has been we didn't hear it at all during the election.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it the job of the politicians to drive that conversation? And you were very critical of your former employer, The Atlantic. And James Fallows in The Atlantic writes a piece saying, you know, I disagree with some of the things Wen said, but I'm really glad he wrote the article. He wants readers to read your article. He took on this uneasy question for a lot of journalists. Whose job is it to tell the public what they should care about? Isn't it the politicians' job? Shouldn't, you know, doesn't the fault lie with Romney and Obama that they didn't bring it up? Or are you saying, as Fallows thinks you're saying, that it's the fault of the journalists for not asking them about it?
I think it's absolutely both. Of course it's the fault of the politicians for not talking about it. But when we're dealing with something as extraordinary as the situation that we're facing, it just seems to me that if journalists are going to live up to their responsibility to the public, that they need to take some leadership here.
Well, and Fallows points out other times journalism has race relations, the Vietnam War, slavery. There have been times when it was the press that led the way.
Absolutely. And the climate crisis is so vast, it's going to require something like a society-wide mobilization to really deal with it seriously and in very short order. And it's going to require a real struggle inside newsrooms and editorial offices to figure out exactly what is the role of the media, of journalists.
Well, here's where you raise some questions for me, Wen. Mm-hmm. You've definitely taken a side in the issue, and you say that that's freed you from a sort of insidious form of self-censorship based on what you say is a misguided image that, you know, mainstream media types have, that they're not allowed to take a stand on an issue. And I found myself writing in the margin, but wait a minute, there is no fray. The accepted science is that there is climate change. Why does it have to be that you're either an advocate or you're not? Why isn't it just good journalism? Rachel Carson was a journalist.
That's an excellent point, but I think what we have to distinguish here is between the science and the politics and the policy. Absolutely true that the scientific consensus shouldn't be politicized in any way. Unfortunately, it has been in this country, largely due to the efforts at sowing doubt and misinformation on the part of the fossil fuel industry. That needs to be highlighted for sure. But when it comes to what to do about this crisis,
how to write about it.
Absolutely a fray. Addressing this is going to require something far beyond politics as usual. We can't just vote for our elected leaders and then expect them to lead us where we need to go, especially when they have to worry about their campaign contributions. We have to lead them.
And by we, you mean the media. We have questions about that. Wen Stephenson, former editor at the Boston Globe and the Atlantic, now climate activist. What do you think about his charge that journalists are failing in covering climate change as a crisis? Go to hearnow.org. Let us hear from you. More with Wen in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with Wen Stephenson, former producer of NPR's On Point and an editor at the Boston Globe and Atlantic Magazine, who's now a climate activist accusing his former colleagues of failing to cover climate change like the crisis it is. And as if on cue, David Remnick writes a piece in The New Yorker this week saying climate change is a bigger challenge for the new administration than the fiscal cliff. He goes on to say that in 2010, the Pentagon declared that climate change might destabilize governments, spark mass migrations, famine, pandemics, military conflict. As David Remnick writes, this is the Pentagon talking, not, you know, woolly radicals. He also says President Obama, to his credit, has secured billions for energy conservation upgrades, talked Detroit into better gas mileage standards, and last week in his acceptance speech mentioned climate change once again. And as David writes, that's good, but at this late date, he gets no points. Well, Wen Stephenson would say the same thing about David's article. Good. But climate change needs to be on the front page of newspapers every day. So, Wen, in voicing your frustration with journalists and their coverage of climate change, you ask, you know, why did the media cover the Occupy movement more than the climate crisis?
That's an excellent question. But I guess what I'm saying here is that journalists need to be advocates. We need to rethink where exactly that line is and whether there should be a line.
Well, you begin your piece with a visit to your old employer and former colleague Peter Kanellis at the Globe, with a Globe editorial meeting, a Boston Globe editorial meeting, in which, you know, which is in your mind a sort of a mini protest. You're there to talk to them about their climate change coverage. And he asks you questions about the Keystone Pipeline and cap and trade and current stories. What was wrong with that? What was wrong with him asking you about these very specific stories?
There was actually nothing wrong with them, and it's to be expected when you go in and have a sit down with the editorial board of a newspaper that they're going to ask some devil's advocate questions and so on. That wasn't the problem. The problem was that the nature of the questions were actually a way of changing the subject, in a way avoiding the conversation that I'd very clearly laid out, which, as I said, we need to see a much greater sense of urgency in the media's coverage of this crisis. We need to actually cover it like a crisis. And we need to pay attention to the movement that's being built here to address it.
You said he asked you the kind of narrow, incremental, politically straight-jacketed questions reflecting a mindset that was leading us off the climate cliff. We asked Peter Kanellis, the editorial page editor, for response. He doesn't agree with your description of the meeting. He said, your article makes a basic error in equating the questions we asked him with our underlying positions. The Globe's editorial board is committed to probing all sides of major issues and asking critical questions of the advocates who come in to the board seeking their support. It seems like your position still stands. You're not talking about reporting every now and then. You're talking about sort of a full-scale, front-page, we are in crisis.
That's right. Look, I respect Peter. He's a good guy. We work together. I have nothing personally against Peter, but I make no apologies here.
Well, the president spoke yesterday, and in his press conference, he said he's committed to working to reduce carbon emissions, but added that the economy is a bigger concern right now. Is that your biggest challenge? You know, you're competing with this idea of jobs, the economy. When you're talking about something that is less tangible for the average person than a lost job.
Yes, because what you're describing there is the business-as-usual mindset that some of us are trying to blow up. For the president to put climate change lower down on his agenda, not only does it go against what he campaigned on in 2008, when he actually cited very specifically those targets of 80% by 2050.
Or else we're in trouble in something
right.
like 8 years.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. But it's not the rational position. There's a sense, I think, among a lot of my old colleagues and folks in the mainstream media that to actually talk in a serious way about those targets, about 80% by 2050 or much less 25% by 2020, is somehow not serious, that it's not rational, it's not realistic. In fact, people like myself and, you know, Bill McKibben and others who are trying to start this conversation are saying that quite the opposite. To not have that conversation is somewhat insane, given what we're faced with.
Do you feel, I'm going to ask you a personal question, because I'm mm-hmm. sitting here, I'm looking at you, your head's about to explode. And you say you talk to scientists who are saying, you know, I'm scared, I'm nervous. Do you feel you've become too close to this topic? You know, how are you feeling?
Honestly, Robin, mm-hmm. I don't think you can be too close to this topic. As I told Peter and the others in that room at the Globe that day, I was there that day and I'm here right now for my kids. I have a 12-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter. And I'm here for them, and I'm here for all of our kids and grandkids. The tone and the kind of anger and harshness of that piece doesn't make any sense unless you're actually grasping what's really at stake here. Countless lives are at stake. Okay, we're talking about our own children's and grandchildren's and all children's futures here. What part of the word emergency do we not understand?
Wen Stevenson, a former journalist, and as you say, after this article, that word former will probably stay there.
Actually, I take exception to that, if you don't mind me saying. I'm still very much a journalist. And this goes back to our conversation about the role of media, the role of journalists in something like this. I'm still a journalist. It's entirely possible to be a journalist and an activist at the same time. I'm willing to accept, though, that I'm a former mainstream journalist.
Okay. We'll link you to his article on climate change at hereandnow.org. Wen, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And by the way, here are some of the stories that Wen Stevenson would like to see. He wants reports on who's standing in the way of progress in climate change. Also, the International Energy Agency says two-thirds of known oil reserves must stay in the ground to avoid catastrophe. Wen asks, how are we going to keep them there? Where's the reporting on that? He compliments PBS's Frontline, which just aired A Climate of Doubt. This is about the people still driving denials about climate change, but says it's been 4 years since their documentary on climate called Heat. Why aren't there more? He says to journalists, why are you a journalist? How do you get out of bed in the morning and look yourself in the mirror? What say you? We'd love to hear from you, especially if you are a journalist. HereAndNow.org, Facebook.com/HereAndNowRadio, on Twitter, @HereAndNow, @HereAndNowRobin. Hope he's gotten some provocative thoughts going with you. Back with the latest news, Here and Now.